Hello, everybody. Welcome to Beyond Awakening, the Future of Spiritual Practice. This is Terry Patton, the creator and host. For those who don't already know me, I'm also the founder and teacher of Integral Spiritual Practice and the author of the book Integral Life Practice with Ken Wilber. I convened this series to serve the evolution of consciousness and culture by creating a deep public dialogue about how higher consciousness can play a key role in helping human beings to actually rise to meet our current challenges and to make as benign as possible a transition to a sustainable human presence on our planet. I've now held 90 remarkable conversations on this topic with many of today's leading thought leaders and spiritual teachers. Once you've registered at beyondawakeningseries.com, they're all available for free download at beyondawakeningseries.com/blog. This morning, you'll hear me in a conversation with Candace O'Denver. We'll continue that conversation in a dialogue that we've titled, Open Intelligence Outshines Experience Uniquely in Each of Us. This morning's broadcast will last about 75 minutes. Candace O'Denver is a being of rare clarity, joy, and creativity. She's a brilliant and extremely well-educated mother and grandmother, as well as a true Renaissance woman whose teachings are already serving people all over the world. I would describe her work as one of the most innovative spiritual teachings anywhere today. But Candace rarely uses the word spiritual at all. Her unique and original approach cuts to the root, using fresh, direct, intuitive, universal language like clarity, open intelligence, innate joy, and being of benefit. It draws on her lifelong familiarity with computers, the internet, and information theory, as well as over 40 years of deep study of the implications of critical theory, art, and literature, and also her deep engagement of the highest spiritual teachings, such as Mengagde, one of the highest expressions of Dzogchen, which originally came from China. She studied critical theory while in a collaborative graduate school program with coursework at the University of California, Berkeley, Stanford, and the California College of the Arts. Her graduation thesis is Meta Space, the Basic Space of Phenomena. Her work expresses, in my opinion, the highest non-dual spiritual teachings, but she expresses it in entirely universal terms without the usual traditional spiritual associations or baggage. She has gathered a team that invented a computationally intensive comparative analysis that she calls an algorithm for open intelligence and spontaneous altruism. In related research, the system of instruction she originated is producing very high levels of satisfaction and flourishing, as well as a lifestyle of benefit to anyone. This system that she teaches, she calls Balanced View. It's also the name of a worldwide organization that has operations in 180 countries. Candace has coined many unique terms and phrases, and her research into this is building into crossovers that are not just having a conversation with other people who are having a self-consciously spiritual conversation, but scientific and public conversations of all kinds, including artistic and creative conversations. She lives in Northern California and teaches internationally, sometimes from the Balanced View centers in Sweden, England, and India. I recently met with Candace in person at her home in Northern California, and we recorded a spontaneous conversation where we explored some of the creative leading edges of her teaching work and the community of people practicing with her. And that's what I'd like to share with you now.
I think we should just sort of freely wander through whatever we want to talk about, don't you?
I do.
You know, one of the things that I'm curious about is there needs to be a certain membrane in order to be able to create a coherent field among a sangha of practitioners that are serious and are committed. And yet, the nature of the teachings is, you know, freely given to all and needs to have no boundary, which implies a very different dynamic, because outside that membrane, there's relatively little, you know, effort to create conformity to principles, whereas inside there needs to be. And very often that's where the friction is where people are at the edge of that, where they're ready, are they ready for it or not, and so forth. And I'm curious how you're navigating that.
Open to all is definitely our primary vision, I would say, and for the benefit of all. And so we have constructed the entire architecture of our communication with everyone so that anyone can participate. So someone could come to the site when they're 5 years old and lurk there for their entire life and have fresh trainings all of the time. Or people can become involved at the other end and be very much involved. And so it's based very much on freedom of choice. And like you said, that there's an offering available to all, but each individual will take up that offering as they feel prepared to do. And I would say that the membrane then is open intelligence. That is the membrane. One of the things that I like about our structure is that we really focus on the safety of the participant. And so we create a totally open, safe zone for people to come in, feel around to see where they fit, and then go from there. And then too, in the 12 Empowerments training, because people are in full disclosure, it's very important too to have that safety as a parent, not just something that is a construct, but something that is very apparent. Just as an example, not in the online world, but in our communities, when a newcomer comes to the meetings, then the focus is on the newcomer rather than everyone hanging out together, those who have known each other forever, and the newcomer kind of disappears. And that was something I noticed in my travels around the world, visiting many different sanghas. That I never visited one where the newcomer didn't disappear. This is one of the things I really love about Balanced View, the community, the sense of community, and really feeling met, totally met. And then everyone else is totally met too. It isn't just me. Everyone trying to be like me. It's everyone demonstrating their own beneficial potency, their own wisdom capacity, whether it's in breakdancing on the fly or whatever it is, making a mask in a few hours, but under tremendous pressure at the same time.
So, Candace, you've been teaching now for over a decade, and people have been responding to your very direct, great freedom or balanced view teachings of resting as awareness for brief moments many times until it becomes natural and obvious at all times. And people have responded to that teaching all over the world, and communities of practice have arisen, and you even have facilities in Sweden and in India where large numbers of people come together, group of people living together in England, communities in many countries around the world. And so there's a community of open intelligence, of awakening as open intelligence, resting as open intelligence, simple recognition. And that's really interesting to me. I'd love to hear more about the art of that, the quality of that, the things about that that are most fun or satisfying, the stories that feel like they want to be told.
When I spontaneously reflect on your question, I think, well, you know, how long have I actually been teaching? And I feel that that responsive quality that is a gift everyone has, a responsive quality to being with other human beings in a totally natural way, a totally open way. And that was initiated in me as the eldest of six children. So I would say that is when I actually started teaching. Now, my siblings were not that interested in what I had to offer. And that I was born with spontaneous notion that everyone is inherently beneficial. And that by being present for the wisdom capacity or the beneficial potency in any individual, then that will show itself. That is naturally who we are. We are spontaneously beneficial. We are each a bright, shining force of wisdom capacity, of beneficial potency. And so, in terms of teaching and the art and quality of that teaching, I would say that a big turnaround for me came when my very well-developed philosophies that I had written were thrown in the trash, one right after another. Maybe I went through this process 10 times. And I could see that to take open intelligence and to try to put it in any kind of a structure would not work. And that what I really needed to do was free myself in a public way where I could be with a large group of people I had never met before and then just be responsive to whatever was wanted and needed. And I decided then that whatever the transmission was to be, whatever the teaching was to be, whatever the wisdom was to be, would find itself in these groups of people and in responsiveness to their needs rather than an agenda I had or a teaching I had put together. And I was in India at the time I decided this, and I called one of the people here in the U.S. that's involved with Balanced View, and I said, I'll be back on March 23rd, and we're going to have something called the 12 Empowerments. And so I came back from India, and the night before Empowerment 1, I wrote Empowerment 1 in response to the group that I knew would be coming. And then based on being with them through Empowerment 1, that night I sat down and wrote Empowerment 2 in response to what was wanted and needed there. And so that is the core art of our work. It is total freedom and immediate perception of the blissful effortlessness of being human. And that can only happen on the fly. So our language changes regularly. And every teacher who speaks, the language is whatever it is in response to the particular group they're with. But at the same time, there is the simple core rather than being an elaborate philosophy I developed on my own. There is a simple practice, the simple practice of introduction to open intelligence. So completely confirming, not pointing out, completely confirming.
Mm. This is a key distinction.
Key
between
distinction.
When you say pointing out, it's as though it isn't already obvious to the person, whereas in confirmation, you're presuming that it is already obvious and you're simply confirming something that's already present.
Exactly. And your response to that, that it is a key distinction between pointing out and completely confirming, is key. Ideally, this is the role of the teacher, to completely confirm the wisdom capacity in its full-blown demonstration in each individual. And the way that might shine forth in each individual is just whatever it is. So the teacher isn't trying to get a person to be a certain way. Rather, it's for them to actually fulfill themselves in the blissful effortlessness of their core strengths, gifts, and talents.
And there have been a number of equally important key distinctions that you have noticed the importance of and built into the architecture of your work. And having pointed out this distinction between pointing out and confirming, it might be interesting to mention some others.
Well, I had talked about teaching in a public way because I had been teaching privately for a very long time, for decades, but not publicly. So in the public field, I found that I would talk about resting as awareness. And so that was the first time that that preposition had ever been changed from resting in awareness. Resting with awareness, resting as awareness. So that preposition is a very key distinction that is absolutely core to our work. And before I started using it, I did a very explicit search on the internet of whether or not that term had ever been used before. And that phrase, resting as awareness, had never been used. And then we put it out there in the public field, and now I see that it's used everywhere.
Mm.
So these key distinctions aren't in a place of ownership with us and what we do, but it is, balanced view is open to everyone, and all of our language and key distinctions are open to everyone. And I'd say that another distinction is instinctive recognition rather than any other kind of recognition. Instinctive recognition. So again, instinctive implies already present, not needing to work or effort or do anything to get it, but instinctively recognizing the reality of who we are. And another distinction, and I could go on and on about this, but I'll just mention this because our work is always developing and opening in new ways, is that matching the language of our trainings to the actual human beings who are living here at this time. And so most of us are born with an idea that we are intelligent beings and that our intelligence is inside us, in our brain. So for most human beings, that would be the case, and there would never be an introduction to the reality, the vast reality that that intelligence is massive. And it is the force of total connectivity between all and encompassing all, including all. And so no matter what the iteration might be of the shining forth, the liveliness of open intelligence. And this is really the context of short moments. It isn't a dry intellectual process, but a very, very much a lively, love-filled process, you could say. But at the same time, it has no process because it's just the recognition over and over again of who one is in an open way that is current, that is very, very current and includes the body-mind distinction and process, but is not glued to that. Is no longer glued to that in any way. And so upon introduction, upon a real introduction to open intelligence, there is no more glue to that.
So one's relationship to one's identity, one's bodily pleasures and aches and pains and mortality, one's relationship to one's psychological patterning and contents is shifted, perhaps in many ways, but at essence, what would you say about how it is shifted?
I would say it is shifted from a very primitive outlook to one that is current. And so when we're born with points of view about who we are, that we're trapped within a body and that our intelligence is within the body, that is a very primitive outlook on what a human being is. And that isn't who we are. Well, so that's the basic, you could say, politically incorrect
right.
view of who a human being is. So it isn't just a reiteration of spiritual or religious programming. It is the complete cure for internalized oppression. The internalized oppression that says we are limited, flawed beings that are trapped within a skin line, and our intelligence is unique to us and cannot be ever shared or met by anyone else. So constantly living with that frustration of not being met by anyone else and having no way to free that up. Whereas upon introduction to ever-opening intelligence, then that is totally freed up and everything is met. So there's no longer a needy, unique individual wanting to be met, but there is the meeting of everyone and all as you are my beloved and in you I am well pleased, whether it's being abandoned or whether it's being in total ecstasy. Mm. And that all of this is the liveliness, the shining forth of open intelligence. And we, as a species, are just learning who we are in this regard. It's not as though Balanced View is trying to say, oh, we have the answer. And this is it. All of us together, we're evolving in a brilliantly new way, an evolutionary leap that has never occurred before. And so all of the millions of years of the human context is totally released in the instant of introduction to open intelligence. The complete confirmation of open intelligence as being the actuality of what a human being or any being is always and for all. So always, two words, always and for all, for the benefit of all. The core philosophy of life then becomes, rather than one of neediness, it becomes one of spontaneous benefit in the moment.
Yeah, I was picking up on how clearly, as you describe this, you might say this viewless view, it seems like that it's a matter really simply of spontaneous recognition and trust, in a sense relaxing into what is, and in that relaxing into what is, we're also relaxing into the generosity that is our nature, which is looking for opportunities to love and serve and be of benefit, but not as if they're missing, simply naturally doing that when it, you know, when an opportunity is showing itself. You know, how might you elaborate or fill that in?
What you touched on in relaxation is absolutely key. Complete relaxation is the core of open intelligence, complete relaxation. And spontaneously being of benefit to all in whatever it is that seems to be shining forth in that moment. And I purposefully use the term shining forth rather than appearing to get away from the subject-object duality, and so that the liveliness of open intelligence, the shining forth of open intelligence, so we already are open intelligence, and beneficial opportunities are shining forth in every single moment. Every single moment is a moment of immediate benefit. Now, in terms of my own experience, every summer I do a 3-week training in Sweden. And ever since we began the center there, which I guess was about 8 or 9 years ago, I show up and I teach for 3 weeks. And so again last summer I showed up and I got up on the stage and we had 150 people there, and that's our capacity. And I started teaching, and then it suddenly occurred to me, I cannot do this anymore. In fact, I'm not doing this anymore. And I'm just going to get up and walk off the stage. And so that's what I did. I got up and I walked off the stage. And I sat in the crowd. And everyone there is someone that I've known for some time, or that I know in some kind of especially deep way. And I just asked people to come up on stage and to show whatever they wanted to show that they thought would be a benefit to all based on their own gifts, strengths, and talents. And again, showing that everyone, it doesn't matter who it is, whatever it is, that they are shining forth in terms of their strengths, gifts, and talents is naturally a benefit to all. And just by sharing that openly, our energy becomes more youthful. We become much more lively because we're totally true to the reality of who we are. We're not trying to be someone any longer. We're not comparing ourselves to anyone. We're simply being who we actually are. And Massive Vibe, the performance we had a few weeks ago in Bristol in the UK, is something that poured forth from last summer. That all of this creativity in the community was given free rein, not only to confirm everyone individually, but to confirm everyone and all, that all of us, no matter who we are, have a unique ability to introduce someone else to open intelligence and to show them, if they need any support, where that support can be found. So here's another key distinction. Sometimes when an individual is introduced to open intelligence, from that moment on, they are a blissful blaze of beneficial activity. However, that is extremely rare. In fact, I've never met anyone anywhere who has said that they have met such a person. And so again, I think the whole business of comparative analysis of who we are in comparison to everyone else is, again, a project of hunger, of neediness, of being fraught with pain, and that isn't who we are. It just isn't who we are at all.
And anyone who's unfamiliar with this performance, you showed me some videos, and what I saw were musical performances, rap and singing, the words of which were reminding people of open intelligence, its indestructibility, it's already here. There's something about this liberating teaching, which has its roots in Dzogchen, which is a radical awareness practice, the crossing over instructions of the kind of crown jewel of the high dharmas of Tibetan Buddhism, and yet in the most simple, accessible language, being participated in by young people who are not interested in the trappings of esoteric and exotic traditions, but who are simply interested in happy, free, fun existence here now. I want to hear more about how all that converged in that, and how that was an expression of even teaching, like that it was not just, it was art, it was teaching, it was life, it was fun. What was it?
Well, it's really everything and nothing at all. It was, like you said, a celebratory expression of reality as it is. And that isn't a direct quotation, but that's more or less what I heard. And we decided to do this and then put together this 4-hour performance in 6 weeks. And so it was a massive undertaking. And at the same time, every single moment of it was completely joyful and creative, but again, too, really allowing people to open them more and more in their own strengths, gifts, and talents, and really completely confirming that in a way of, in the same way that one would raise a child, I would say, like, you can do it. And this is who you are, and there's no doubt about it. The mothering of my sons is, in essence, the teaching practice, I would say, and to see their lives and to see the lives of my grandchildren as expressions of the same celebratory display we had in Bristol. It's all uniquely special. And again, I'll go back to the quotation, "You are my beloved, and in you I am well pleased," reinforcing that again and again, that what we feel has been most often misnamed. So what we think, feel, sense, experience has been misnamed. And in its misnaming, beneficial potency has been congested.
Congested is an interesting word, Candace.
It just occurred to me right here, but it has been terrifically congested. In the freeing up of that, in other words, not needing to make everything matter. I think this, I feel that, I sense this, so I better hop on it or not participate in it or replace it with something else, or that sort of thing. There is no avoidance or replacement, but everything is beloved as it is.
Mm. I know I wanted to ask you more about this inherently beneficial nature of being itself, and somehow this belovedness and the beneficial nature of things seem to me to be intertwined. Well, they're just different words around a singleness somehow.
They are definitely indivisible, and it doesn't matter what the word is. Everything is indivisible. Upon complete confirmation of open intelligence and then allowing everything to be as it is in short moments of open intelligence, then we as an individual can completely confirm our own beneficial nature. The complete confirmation of our own beneficial nature in a short moment is beneficial potency. That is immediate benefit. So it's taken on in everything as it is, rather than trying to be programmed in a certain way. The beauty of that is that most of us live in a state of constantly wanting to change whatever is occurring. And in open intelligence, we find there's nothing we need to change. That the very fruit of everything we have ever wanted or desired in any moment of neediness is completely fulfilled in open intelligence. And it isn't that we journey off to some distant space away from everything and all, but we completely confirm exactly who we actually are, with no need to escape from that, no primitive recourse to the demands of a society that does not support that.
I'd like to take a moment now to make sure you know how to find out more about Candace's work, Balanced View. Balanced View offers a new and vital education in the nature of human intelligence, allowing us to introduce and train up our greatest potential, including being of benefit to all. This grassroots movement empowers people around the world to see their strengths and talents and contribute them for the benefit of all, enjoying increasing happiness and joy, and tapping into their potential for living life in a deeply caring and beneficial way. You can find free audios, videos, readings, and ebooks at balancedview.org. That's balancedview.org. With the Massive Vibe Project, Candace and a team of renowned vocalists and musicians deliver the direct transmission of comprehensive intelligence via a completely new style of music, combining the offbeat and silence with radically innovative word combinations. This is the music you cannot only hear, but see. This project theme is adapted to each culture of the world through artists from each culture, especially focusing on large populations who do not speak English. After the introduction to Always Opening Intelligence, Balanced View offers all people the opportunity to train up their beneficial potency with the scientifically proven empowerment and support platform, Balanced View. You can find that at massivevibe.com and facebook.com/massivevibe. And if you value what you're receiving here, please support our work by letting others know about it. They can register for this series by going to beyondawakeningseries.com. Additionally, I want you to be aware of some of my own offerings. I continue to press the edge of spiritual understanding in my blogging and writing and by engaging in public dialogues with teachers and thought leaders like Candace, Ken Wilber, Jean Houston, Andrew Harvey, Thomas Hubel, and many others. You can get on my mailing list and find out more by going to terrypatton.com. As my inner life has continued to deepen, I've been awakening not only as open intelligence to the universal divine source of all benefit, of love, goodness, sacredness, and silence, the mystery beyond description, but I've also learned to trust and listen at new depths to the way that open intelligence expresses itself uniquely through me, what I call the voice of my soul. I've long recognized that it can seem like there are two kinds of mystical practice, one that opens beyond self into open intelligence, love, and freedom, and another that surrenders into the depths of the psyche, the natural world, and one's personal soul nature. But recently, as my own practice has taken a soulful turn, mainly through new understandings and new experiences, I've understood some things about the relationships between those two dimensions of mystical life. And I've begun clarifying this in writing and teaching about it. I call it integral soul work. Early this year, I decided to share this work with two small circles of students. And if you're interested to learn more, you can go to integralsoulwork.com and you can sign up for a free download of the talk with which I introduced those groups. That's integralsoulwork.com. Also, you're invited to experience integral soul work with me in person at a series of upcoming events in Europe. In May, I taught a 4-day workshop on integral soul work in Freiburg, Germany. Just last week, I taught a 6-day event at Esalen Institute. And on both occasions, something really beautiful and deep and almost miraculous occurred. Everyone fell in love and went deep, and there were real transitions, life-changing shifts. This seems to be a magical time in my work, so you're warmly encouraged to join me for one of my upcoming events. I'll be teaching in Oslo, Norway on September 11th in an evening event and then a weekend event, the 12th through the 14th. In Copenhagen, there'll be evening events on September 16th and then in another part of Denmark on the 17th and then a weekend event the 19th through the 21st. And I'll be doing a weekend event in Switzerland at Villa Unspunnen on September 26th through 28th. You can find out more details about these events and all my other work at terrypatton.com. And just click events. Now, back to my conversation with Candace.
I resonate with a lot of the simplicity of this communication on the basis of decades and decades of practice in which I've unwound a lot of fixations in myself. And you always speak in simple, you simply presence and confirm that which is always already the case and which is beloved and beneficial without limit. And that can simply sound like some sort of abstract idealism if someone is not able to feel it as reality, as truth, and as their own actual condition and relax into the blessing that pervades all things. How, you know, is there more you might say to account for this, you know, unwinding?
Well, what you call unwinding, I might call outshining. Thus, we are open intelligence, and open intelligence is a bright, shining force of connectivity, of brightness and openness to perfect knowledge, yet including all knowledge already known. And the way that different people confirm that for themselves is, again, special and unique. There isn't one pattern or way for anyone to outshine misnamed moments of experience. As you know, we offer many trainings, but now more and more our work is very much based on music, dance, the arts, and performance, because the what you call unwinding, what I might call outshining, all of that occurs in a way that cannot be intellectualized or contextualized or philosophized in any kind of way whatsoever. Within the primitive context that we have been trained up in, there is no way to introduce that to another human being. And so, through performance, dance, art, song, through all of these demonstrations, we reach into the nooks and crannies of everyone, everywhere, and call forth the demonstration of their own aliveness. We have a project currently called Massive Vibe. So in this, open intelligence is the massive vibe of connectivity, connecting everything and all. And we are continually opening up in perfect knowledge. And as I said, including all knowledge already known, but with complete spontaneous openness to the perfect knowledge of this moment that can never be predicted or trained. Just like when I got up and walked off the stage last summer and said, I'm not doing this anymore. It cannot be trained. It's a kind of skillful means and wisdom that belongs to everyone. It is the unique nature of everyone. Skillful means and wisdom are inherent in the strengths, gifts, and talents of every individual. Now, many people may not know that they have unique strengths, gifts, and talents. However, if they hang out in the massive vibe force field, they will feel more comfortable with identifying their unique strengths, gifts, and talents. This is what we're finding.
Hmm. So let me offer a few reflections. There were quite a few flashes, but a few can be captured. One of them is, it seems like in a way, this is just an invitation to rejoin the greater dance that everyone has always already been not separated from, and that the transmission that is just just the way one might grasp the hand of a friend and draw them into an ecstatic dance is sort of the spirit of this, instead of the spirit of, here, let me teach you how to be free, as if I'm selling you on the idea that you're not first. Uh-huh. And then the second thing that comes up for me as I contemplate this is that, what I've always loved about your teachings is that although they are on one level something that seems intuitively obvious to me from my years, decades of practice and study of various tradition, non-dual traditions of realization, that there's never been most of that conversation goes on in a rather parochial domain that seems disconnected from so much of the rest of life, and you've always connected it out into things like information theory and now this whole matter of music, performance, pop culture even, and that feels very free, and I love that. And in other words, there's both a community of practice here, and there is a giving over of this teaching and a non-ownership. There's both a place to go and do balanced view work, and there is a desire to give it away so freely that it permeates the whole universe and can't be found anywhere particularly.
Correct.
So I just wanted to flash all those things at you. See what you feel like responding to.
Oh, that's terrific. Terry, that's really terrific. And I do feel that it is that way. Upon complete confirmation of open intelligence for anyone, no matter what they might call open intelligence, but I would really direct everyone to the term open intelligence because it is such a force of connectivity for our species. And upon that complete confirmation, the first thought that occurs to almost everyone is, this is amazing. I want to tell the world about it. And so we have seen many mishaps occur in that moment of, this is it, and I want to tell the world about it. And there is a definitive maturity, I would say, that must be brought to these teachings at this moment in history. And so while there is the youthful verve of, oh, yes, this is wonderful and I want to share it with everyone, yet there is the maturity of having a profound community of participants in every country in the world, as well as having openness to anyone who wants to enter into balanced view in any way. So anyone can come to our website and lurk there for their entire life and every day see something new and refreshing or participate in something new and refreshing and never connect in a visible way with anyone else, yet in an invisible, deeply connected way that individual will connect up with the whole and recognize that. And so very often what a teaching might present is realized in retrospect. So the words that I might say here today or you might state here today will most likely be realized in retrospect. for some right now, but for others realized in retrospect.
Mm. Recognized as a description. Oh yeah, I remember hearing that, and of course that is exactly how it is.
Uh-huh.
Funny that I didn't recognize it the first time I heard it.
Uh-huh. I would say that you have touched on some things that are very sensitive topics right now, and very sensitive among those topics is the connection of balanced view, or the affiliation of balanced view with Tibetan Buddhism.
Mm.
And what I would like to say is that balanced view is not affiliated with Tibetan Buddhism, yet there are certain of our participants who are also participating in Tibetan Buddhist work. So in open intelligence, everything is available as it is. If someone wants to be a Tibetan Buddhist practitioner, that's great. That fits very well with balanced view and with open intelligence and Dharmakaya, for example, would be synonymous. So Dharmakaya is actually a Sanskrit word, but used in Tibetan Buddhist teachings, which essentially means primordial purity. And so someone else might say, oh, you know, I have a deep faith in God. All my life I've believed in God. So for that person, God is open intelligence. But again, the relationship with that subject-object context needs to be destroyed, wrathfully destroyed.
In other words, my ecstatic love relationship with God is an expression of the endlessly beneficial qualities of being, of open intelligence, and God and open intelligence and being are all synonyms, but to the degree I'm thinking of God in a way that reifies God and puts me in a subject-object relationship with God as other, that needs to be wrathfully destroyed.
Exactly. You are my beloved, and in you I am well pleased.
Mm-hmm.
There's a complete shift of perspective from a theistic reaching out to an invisible entity to the singularly appropriate appropriation of that identity. In other words, the wrathfulness and boldness of saying, I am God, and everything and all, whatever it is God as well. For the individual human being, all that appears, whatever it is, then, is God or open intelligence. But the perspective has shifted completely. In complete confirmation of open intelligence, there is complete confirmation of all of an individual's reified ideas about God, about Dharmakaya, Svabhavakaya, which means all pervasiveness of open intelligence. All of the reified constructs are destroyed, and reification simply means that something is given an independent nature. So within open intelligence, a vast array, dynamic array of data shine forth. And the data are the liveliness, the shining forth of open intelligence itself. in complete confirmation of open intelligence, one is no longer sorting out all the data, programming all the data. Instead, open intelligence is welcoming and inviting everything without doing anything at all. And so again, I would say it is, transmission is something that goes beyond all reified constructs. It subsumes all reified constructs. So again, there is a distinction between the word going beyond or transcending and subsuming. Going beyond or transcending means we're going somewhere else. And subsuming means we are including everything in a more comprehensive category.
Mm.
So in open intelligence, we are including everything and all in the more comprehensive category of open intelligence, rather than primitive, biased intelligence that we've trained up in. So first of all, we need to take responsibility for the fact that we trained up in this, that it was our choice.
Mm.
Even though it was all that was presented to us, it was our choice. And that is a striking notion for many people, the taking of responsibility.
Yes, this victim orientation is pervasive. I suffer. The patterns that I suffer were fed to me by my parents and society and the whole process of acculturation. I'm a victim of it. I've only tried to make my way through that confusion. I've only been lost in data, trying to add the data up into the field that comprehends it as if it could be, as if that were even possible. And that sense of resentment, really, and victimization is, it's what I think people find most obnoxious about the whole consideration of spirituality and the whole presumption and the genre of the spiritual teaching as a mode of communication. It seems to sell you the disease in the process of selling you the cure. And there's a precision and fierceness in your refusal to countenance that framing that is one of the things I especially appreciate about your languaging.
Striking the heart of the matter is key. And shooting an arrow in the dark is the life of primitive intelligence. And shooting the bullseye is the life of open intelligence, shooting the bullseye every time. The giving up one's right to be a victim is a very pervasive internalized oppression that is pervasive in human society. That all pervasive internalized oppression can be completely confirmed in endless ways. And so in our popular response, I would say, to what is wanted and needed right here and right now, we want to reach out to everyone everywhere who has been infected with that disease of internalized depression, of sorting data lifelong, and offer to everyone the complete confirmation of the reality of who they really are. So just as one exercises the choice to be a victim of data, one exercises the choice to live as open intelligence Now, many people would argue with me on that point of choice. However, they will need to hang around for a long time. Open intelligence in its beneficial blaze, I would say, is really the depths of what I have experienced in Balanced View. And just the total connectivity with everyone. And then the reaching out in instinctive recognition to all of humankind and to all beings that this is the reality of who we are. Join in. Meet up. We're all in this together. There's no one who can be left out. It's absolutely impossible for anyone to be left out.
Reality transmits itself very powerfully in your presence. And you simply talk about the beneficial qualities of open intelligence, which is what that is. I wonder if you do talk about that more, and is there more you would feel inclined to say about that aspect of things?
I feel that the power of the collective connectivity has been underrepresented by the forceful presence of a single individual. And this underrepresented dimension does not belong to any individual. It exists in the unique strengths, gifts, and talents of every individual. And that is our proposal in Balanced View.
And there then is even a felt presence to the synergistic dance of the unique creativities of people collaborating in a way that expresses the freedom of, and the beneficial qualities of that in an unconstrained fashion. Is that also something you would affirm and point to?
I would completely confirm that within every single individual, as they are in every single moment, the full-on transmission of the force of any individual you might mention who is represented as the all-powerful one or the all-knowing one, that their powerfulness and their all-knowingness is demonstrated when the participants realize exactly what it is that the other individual has realized, but the individual realizes it in their own domain of strengths, gifts, and talents. In other words, not trying to copy those of someone else or beseech or beholden to someone else, but it is a reaching out, a freely open transmission that is available to all. And stretching back in human history for many, many thousands of years, countless thousands of years, there have been small groups of people who have lived as open intelligence. However, no longer do we have the demands of national constraints or geographical constraints, cultural constraints, because now we have openness to transportation, to communication. These are pivotal distinctions. The transportation and communication offers us the ability to transport ourselves from a primitive way of living as intelligence to a really, truly engaging and transformational way of being intelligent, openly intelligent, simply by reaching out in the reality of who we are. And again, it is so important to stay on course with the river of choice, and what is preserved throughout is the most unique and most legitimate aspect of humanness as we know it, and that is the nature of our own mind, the nature of intelligence itself. And no matter what culture we might look at, in the most demonstrative people who have lived in that culture, this is what has been present: the ability to flare out into their beneficial potency, whether it's for a moment like Albert Einstein and then trying to find it the rest of his life in a unified theory, or whether it is concentrated, deep, devoted practice of short moments or something else. And these are the individuals throughout all cultures that I think are really unifying right now in a, what you could call a global preservation of what is most unique and ultimate to humankind. We hold the knowledge of the entire universe in a usable way, so we cannot any longer live within the constraints of primitivism, of our own intelligence.
Thank you so much for joining us. In a moment, I'll tell you what's coming up here on Beyond Awakening. If you're interested in learning more about Candace O'Denver's work, please visit balancedview.org, balancedview.org, and also massivevibe.com. You're also invited to go to terrypatton.com to sign up for my mailing list and find out about my upcoming teaching events in Europe. And if you're specifically interested in learning about integral soul work, you can download a free 75-minute teleseminar at integralsoulwork.com. Now, about what's coming up here on Beyond Awakening, I'll be interviewing a remarkable man, a blind man who founded the largest postgraduate training program for psychotherapists in Denmark, Ole Varumdal, on September 21st. We'll be doing that live from Denmark. And I'll be sharing a remarkable conversation with the wonderfully eloquent mystic and sacred activist Andrew Harvey on October 19th. Thank you so much for joining Candace and me today. Goodbye, everybody.